Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There is no greater moment in Seattle soccer history than this moment right now.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Sounders Weekly with your host, Jackson Feltz.
Good evening. Welcome in, everybody. Sounders Weekly on a special night this week, Wednesday, here at 7 o'clock. Thanks for sticking around and listening to us this evening. Not on Tuesday night this week, of course, because we had Kraken hockey last night. There'll be a few conflicts this season, but we're happy to be on the air for Sounders Weekly this week on this special Wednesday. A lot coming up on tonight's show. Garth Lagerwey, Seattle Sounders general manager and president of soccer, as he always does on Tuesdays right at about 7:05. He'll hop on in a few moments to talk everything Sounders soccer, coming off of a 3-0 beatdown of the Colorado Rapids on Sunday. You know, we said this on the postgame broadcast, but at the moment that this game kicked off, Kansas City had won and Kansas City had jumped Seattle for first place in the West. So at that moment, this was the second place versus third place teams in the Western Conference, and Seattle made Colorado look like they didn't even deserve to be in the top three. It was 3-0 through the first half. You had an instant goal from Christian Roldan in the second minute, a nice goal, really nice goal from Jimmy Madronda with some nice passing in the 22nd, and then Joao Paulo, we'll talk about it here with Garth, put together what Brian Schmetzer called the goal of the year right before halftime. I'll send you to @extratime on Twitter, @extratime. They put together a video that has Marshawn Lynch, in case you are living under a rock and you don't know, Marshawn Lynch, a legendary running back for the Seattle Seahawks, who has now since retired, but I guess you never know. But Marshawn Lynch actually narrated his own Beastquake run a number of years back that happened in 2010 against the Saints. They overlaid Marshawn's narration over Joao Paulo's goal. It was just phenomenal because Joao Paulo goes about 60, 70 yards. It's incredible. Incredible goal. Absolutely incredible. You got to go watch that. So @extratime when they're on Twitter. But it's 3-0. And then for the last half, the Sounders basically just kill off the game. They had a goal that was disallowed for a very ticky-tacky foul on VAR. They reviewed it through video replay, and they said that Freddie Montero had a foul, so Jimmy Madronda's second goal was disallowed. I have my own opinions, and I think that's you-know-what. But at the end of the day, it's 3-0. They kill off the game in the second half, and they did a great job of doing that. And they made Colorado look just, honestly, a little bit embarrassing. You know, if I'm a Colorado fan, I'm kind of embarrassed that you're third place in the Western Conference, and you couldn't even look remotely like the third place team. Seattle jumps back to first place, and that's where we hold the spot right now. A couple points over KC, plus a game in hand. And then coming up this Saturday, October 9th, your Seattle Sounders look to clinch a spot in the Audi 2021 MLS Cup playoffs when they host Cascadia rival Vancouver Whitecaps FC at Lumen Field. You can get tickets to the 6 p.m. home match by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. You can also watch the contest on Fox 13 Plus, stream on Prime Video, listen in Spanish language on El Rey 1360, but I encourage you to listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM, pre-match starting at 5:30. Saturday's match is proudly presented by WaFed Bank. Get the new Sounders Rewards credit card from WaFed Bank to score exclusive fan experiences, team swag, and more. And the Sounders will be missing five players for this match who are all on international duty. You know, we have Garth Lagerwey on hold right now. We'll talk about these international absences with Garth, exactly who they are and how long they could be missing. But before we get to that, and before we get to Garth, I'll also mention that later on in the show, we're going to have Michael McCall of AFTN Canada come on to look ahead to that Vancouver match. He comes on every single time we have Sounders Whitecaps matches, so we'll have Michael McCall coming on a little bit later on. And then there is a very disturbing situation with with the NWSL, the Women's Soccer League here in America, the National Women's Soccer League. And if you don't know anything about that situation, that's okay. We'll tell you more about that situation with our NWSL correspondent, Andrew Harvey. He'll join us later on to talk about that, talk about what's going on with Tacoma Defiance, because they are right now winless in their last six games. They're now 0-6, as well as everything going on with OL Reign. So Andrew Harvey later on, Michael McCall later. But let's welcome on the general manager and president of soccer of the Seattle Sounders right now, Garth Lagerwey. Good evening, Garth. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, Justin. How are you?
I'm good, Garth. Let's start by talking about the 3-0 win over Colorado there on Sunday at Lumen Field. About a minute before the half ended, we see Joao Paulo put together a 60-70-yard run that will for sure be remembered for a very, very long time. Brian Schmetzer, right before the half, called it, for him, the goal of the year. It's going up against Raul's goal, Austin, and then Jimmy Madronde in Portland. There's a few others, of course, thrown in there. For you, looking at that goal, is that number one?
Man, I sure as heck think it could be. One of the things I enjoy, Jackson, is the comparisons to other pieces of Seattle lore. You know, that JP had gone beast mode, and I wondered what Portuguese for beast mode is, you know, because we got to give that play like a name. I mean, that has to live forever, I think, in the legends of the club. I mean, when JP beat half a team on his own and scored a goal from more than half field. I mean, when my 3-year-old plays Pee Wee, we call that going coast to coast. It was just amazing. Like everybody saw AB's reaction on the sideline. I can tell you, you know, just holding his hands on his head in disbelief. And I had a similar one up top, like kind of, all right, he's got one, he beat two. Holy cow, we beat 3-4. Like, is this really going to happen? Like, you're just kind of like, you can't believe it as it's unfolding and then it goes in. And it was just amazing, man. I mean, amazing. And look, JP scored another amazing one in the first game, right? The volley against Minnesota was not it at all. So, look, he's an amazing player. He's had an amazing season. And JP's been the glue that's just done everything right and made everybody around him better. I mean, I have no doubt that Danny Leyva and Josh Atencio are better players for having played next to JP. And you see his influence now. You see both those guys again, Raul and JP, think about how important they are to our team. Raul has been really a great personal influence on Danny Leyva. And now you see JP doing the same thing with Leo Chu and taking him under his wing and really trying to be positive influences. So I just think we're so lucky, not just to have great players like those guys, but to have them to be guys of such good character that they want to help their teammates, especially their younger teammates. Because that doesn't happen everywhere. And that speaks to a really good culture and a really good, you know, our guys like each other. I mean, we have a very talented team, but our guys like each other and they like playing for each other and they like competing together. And I think we really saw that in the first half against Colorado.
I think you really did as well. And once again, Garth Lagerwey is our guest, Sounders general manager, president of soccer. We talked about that on the postgame show, how you constantly see these Instagram pictures and videos of Raul Ruiz Diaz, who is so active on Instagram, about picking Danny Leyva up from, you know, to go to the airport for road games and how much those two interact. And it's just that guidance that's beautiful to watch. And you think back to Raul's goals at Austin and then that midweek game at Dallas, you know, the incredible goal where he scores 20 seconds after coming on. You know, he is absolutely, I think you're right, put the team on his back in certain moments. But, you know, JP, for everything else he's done, might be the MVP. What a year he has had. What a goal he had this last Sunday against Colorado. And you mentioned Leo Chu there. And, you know, we've seen now him a few times. We've started to really see that potential, that burst, that speed that we talked about when he first joined the team. What have been your impressions been of his first few appearances?
Well, first, I do want to react with some humor to those fans that are concerned that Leo Chu is not fast. I promise you, he's really fast.
Are there actually people saying that?
I read this on social media, and they're like, he appears like he might not be as fast as Jordan Morris. I'm like, if we all have the problem in life that we're not as fast as the fastest guy in the league, then sure, okay, all right, maybe he's not as fast as Jordan. If you could watch his first three games and you don't see the burst that he has, Likewise, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
is he the complete product yet? Absolutely not. You know, he's a kid. He's 21. You know, it's the youngest. I think it's the youngest foreign player we've ever signed. You know, we signed AB before that, but we signed to Defiant. We signed Nuhu. That's not true. I'll contradict myself because Nuhu was up with the first team at a younger age. But still, he's a young player. He needs experience. But you see the talent. You see the burst. And look, he adds an element that we don't have with some of our other attackers. And I think he's shown, you know, he can play out of that central midfield role. You know, he doesn't have to play as a winger. So I think that's really encouraging as well. That was one of the things he told us before we signed him, that he really felt comfortable, not just, you know, in positions besides just being a left wing. And I think you're seeing that materialize now. And the other thing I really liked is that he's been a willing worker on defense. You know, again, does he know exactly where to be in the system yet at every moment? No, but the kid works. I mean, he tracks back. He's coming back, trying to win balls, double teaming. So, you know, been really encouraged by his start. And again, it's just the start. He's just a kid. You know, we don't need him to be the end all be all. We need him to be a contributing piece and, for this year. And I think he's well on his way to doing that.
And I love how you brought up that Leo Chiu. You know, I mean, he's the first true winger that you've actually signed here in your tenure, right? I mean, and you look back and, you know, and this is, you know, signed, obviously we're excluding Jordan Morris because, you know, he had the homegrown deal, but in terms of a big international signing here, and, you know, when you look at his abilities, I think it has transitioned to be more than just the pure winger. Meanwhile, you have Jordan Morris, who you said last week with us, there is a thought that both he and Nico could return before the end of the regular season. And, you know, right there, you're looking at two wingers who can play other positions as well, but two wingers who have enormous amounts of speed. I mean, whether they're starting or whether they're coming off the bench, and it may be the latter, that is a huge dynamic that teams are going to have to prepare for in the playoffs, where, okay, we may be, you know, tied with this team, you know, in the 60th minute or whatever, but we have to worry about two speedsters that are going to be attacking the defenses for the final 30 minutes. That's just going to throw every other MLS head coach you face for a loop each week.
It's going to make this really difficult to scout, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Because I think in game, you can flip formations too. You know, coaches talked about whether you call it a 3-4, 2-1, 3-4, 1-2, you know, we've played different iterations of the, you know, building out of the three at the back. You know, if you go to four at the back, then that fundamentally changes what you can do in front of that. And it makes it easier to play with wingers and some other things. So, coach is definitely going to have a bunch of options and look, it's going to be some challenges too, trying to integrate all these guys and come back in. I mean, we're not going to have a ton of players for this game on the weekend against Vancouver. You know, we'll have enough, but we'll have the band back together kind of for the last six games of the season. So, you know, they'll be, well, I shouldn't say that because Nico and Jordan definitely won't be back right after that. But anyway, we're going to continue to build toward full strength. And, you know, hopefully these guys can continue to play at the level they're playing, because, you know, to strip away everything else, Jackson, the first half on Saturday was just really fun.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was Sunday. It was just really fun. And there aren't that many times in my career, at least, where the crowd has stood and given a standing ovation after a half. And then let's just reflect on that for a second. Like, mm-hmm. How cool is that, that our fans came out and that kind of numbers and literally, you know, saw some good soccer and clapped our guys off at halftime. I mean, that's a tribute to our fans, and just what a great place to play this is.
Well, you know, we saw each other in the press box. Actually, just I went and grabbed some food right after the start of the whistle, because we throw it, you know, right when the kickoff happens. We throw it over to Keith Costigan and Casey Keller for kickoff here for our games on KJR. And right after that happened, I ran over to get food. And we all know Christian Roldan scores in the second minute. So here I am with Marcus Hanneman, and we're watching Christian Roldan score. We hear it over the loudspeaker, and then we're watching Christian Roldan score on the television. You know, I'm grabbing food, and you and I chat for a couple minutes, you know, about how the situation on Sunday was kind of interesting because they had 45,000 right across the street at T-Mobile Park for the Mariners finale, where they unfortunately don't make the playoffs, but what an atmosphere it was there at T-Mobile. And clearly there was a large amount of fans who just walked right across the street, hung out at a bar wherever else before heading on into Lumen. And I think for a lot of fans who may have done that and maybe saying, you know what, I've never gone to a Sounder game. I'm just going to stay in Soto and I'm just going to go over and see what the Sounders do and go watch Sounders Colorado. They got a big treat seeing that first 45 minutes because, you know, if they're just trying soccer for the first time, seeing what this team can do and seeing that performance in that half, that was huge for getting whatever number that new fans is or whatever number a fan who wants to try out live soccer for the first time who are now going, well, oh, I need to go way more now.
It looked absolutely, and from a Sounders perspective, you know, we certainly hope that all those Mariners fans come back and come see another game. But likewise, just want to extend my respect to the Mariners organization. They have been such great partners. COVID has been incredibly trying for everybody, and they've been wonderful to work with on every step of the way. And you know, the necessity for having common policies across buildings and organizations has been so apparent. And you know, to see them put it together and have such a great season, and it was just so fun to watch them in the pennant race and down to the final day and down to the, you know, the last couple innings even, you know, was just, as a sports fan, you know, again, this is why it's so fun to live in Seattle, to have quality organizations and quality teams. And, you know, bummed that the Mariners haven't made it, but, you know, based on the path they're on, it sure looks like they're going to make it pretty soon. And, you know, just a hat tip to them for a great season. And again, I hope that in the future we have many Sounders fans at Mariners games, a lot of Mariners fans at Sounders games. And, you know, we'll be welcoming the Kraken here pretty soon too. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's a pretty good time to be a sports fan here in Seattle.
It absolutely is. Kraken, I believe, starts a week from yesterday. That's their first game, and, you know, they're playing preseason games. They played last night, I believe, their final preseason game up in Vancouver. We talked to Stephen Fry about that last week because he's obviously a huge hockey fan. This city is just absolutely bursting with sports, and we still got to get the Sonics back for sure. But, yeah, hopefully we continue to get that kind of flow over fans because that was a lot of fun there on Sunday. Garth Lagerwey is our guest. And Garth, you mentioned a couple minutes ago, about how you're going to be missing a bunch of guys for Vancouver, international duty for Alex Roldan, Christian Roldan, Raul Ruiz Diaz, Nuhu, and Javier Arriaga as well. What's the timeline? By the way, I'm going to be on vacation next week, so we won't have a Sounders Weekly next Tuesday. You know, so it's a question that I would ask next week, and I'll ask it right now. Looking at the timelines of games and flights and that sort of situation, and then looking to Houston coming up the following Saturday, do you know yet at all the timing on these guys and if any, will be available there for that Houston game?
No, look, we have contingency plans in place, and you know, you saw at the end of the challenge of these three-game windows is twofold. One is the travel on those guys is exponentially increased. I mean, you know, it sounds like, they're playing three games instead of two games. That's a big deal, especially if you're going to South America. And it's a big deal if you're in South America, if you're playing in Argentina versus playing in Colombia. I mean, they're literally different parts of the world, so to speak. Those are, you know, that's a six-hour flight apart. Maybe longer. So, you know, we have contingencies, but it also, on top of the travel, it matters if they play and when they play. Because if they play 90 minutes in the game right before, it's almost impossible to get on a plane and turn around and do that again. And you have to be careful about the player safety. And, you know, we're at the stage of the season where any injury basically takes a guy out for the rest of the regular season. So we're going to have to be cautious. Obviously, those guys are chomping at the bit to get back and play as well. So it's just going to come down to the personal circumstances, and we're going to have to monitor those things. And then, look, if the good news is a lot of those flights from South America fly back through Houston. So there's a decent chance that there are at least direct flights that get in, and that maybe that expedites the travel a little bit. But, again, we'll have to weigh all those factors, the national team travel, how much they're playing. Look, what's their physical status, right? Because Raul was struggling a little bit before he departed. So we got to get these guys right because we really can't take any chances with injuries now heading into the the last four or five games of the season.
Absolutely. So, well, Garth, we'll wrap up the interview today, and we won't have a show next week, so we'll kind of just have to continue watching that situation in flights, and we'll see what happens coming up for that Houston match. But we know that they will not be there for this rescheduled match against the Vancouver Whitecaps coming up this Saturday at Lumen Field. Final thing I want to hit today, Garth, and we're going to have Andrew Harvey, who's our NWSL and OL Reign correspondent, on a little bit later in the show to talk more about this situation. But the situation in the NWSL, the club put out a statement right there before the game against Colorado on Sunday, and we'll give you that statement a little bit later on as well here in the show. But for everything going on with that situation, I wanted to kind of just get your take on everything going on with that and how you reflect on it as a front office person in American soccer.
Look, there's no place for that in the game. You know, we want to be part of the solution of making Washington the safest and most inclusive place to live, work, and play. I liked what Christian Roldan said earlier this week about, you know, really trying to use soccer to bring people together, to make it inclusive. And, you know, these are issues for all of us as humans. And we need to tackle them together and to try to find solutions. And so we just can't have this stuff. And, you know, we have to have our players be able to perform and feel safe, and to be safe. And so that requires all of us, and it requires, constructing the right cultures. And it, you know, requires us working together, and striving, as I said, to make Washington the safest, most inclusive place to live, work, and play.
Absolutely. Well said, Garth. Well, that unfortunately is all the time we have for in today's interview. But thanks so much for joining. Obviously, big game coming up Saturday against Vancouver and then Houston the following Saturday. So we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Jackson.
That's Garth Lagerwey, Seattle Sounders general manager and president of soccer. We'll continue talking about that situation with the NWSL and tell you all about exactly what happened. Andrew Harvey, who is our correspondent with the Tacoma Defiance, he's their play-by-play voice, and OL Reign. He also knows a lot about the NWSL. He'll join us later on tonight to talk about that situation. But before we take a break, I'll let you know, Sounder fans, even the greatest athletes, make sure to take the time to catch up with their friends over on Michelob Ultra, because they know that the joy is the whole game, not the end game. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. So we'll take a break and come back and be joined by Michael McCall. He is of AFTN Canada up in Vancouver, BC. Michael knows about as much about the Whitecaps as anybody. He joins us every single time the Sounders play the Caps. And Michael McCall will join us next to preview Saturday's match. That's next on Sounders Weekly
on in Texaco locations.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Welcome back, everybody. Jackson Fouts here. Thanks for spending your Wednesday evening here with us. Special Sounders Weekly on Wednesday this week because we had Kraken hockey last night. So Sounders. And thanks so much to Garth Lagerwey for joining us in our first segment there. Nice long conversation talking about a bunch of subjects. We still have Andrew Harvey coming up later on in the show. But moving on from the 3-0 win over Colorado and that amazing Joao Paulo goal, it's time to look forward. And this coming Saturday, October 9th, your Sounders look to clinch a spot in the 2021 Audi MLS Cup playoffs when they host those Vancouver Whitecaps in the Cascadia Clash. You can get tickets to the 6 p.m. home match by visiting soundersfc.com/tickets. You can watch the match on Fox 13 Plus, stream on Prime Video, listen in Spanish language on El Rey 1360, but I encourage you to listen right here on Sports Radio 950 KJR AM. Pre-match show is at 5:30. Saturday's match is proudly presented by WaFed Bank. Get the new Sounders Rewards credit card from WaFed Bank to score exclusive fan experiences, team swag, and more. And as we discussed earlier on here in Sounders Weekly, the man who joins us for every single Sounders Whitecaps game to preview these games, Michael McCall of AFTN in Canada. You can follow on Twitter at AFTN Canada. Michael, welcome back to the show. It has been so long, my friend. It is great to hear your voice.
It has been a while. Sadly, can't come down for this one, but looking forward to the game anyway, and always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
It is a pleasure indeed, Michael, and we go up there for November for Decision Day. That's Sounders at Whitecaps, and when we look ahead to preview that match on that Tuesday, we'll talk all about everything going on up there when it comes to COVID and the regulations and BC Place. I'm eager to talk to you about all that stuff, so that'll have to wait a month. But for this right here coming up, I mean, we know Vancouver's coming off of a 3-0 win over San Jose. The Sounders got their own win over San Jose in midweek, so then you follow that up with another butt-whooping of them. And I know Brian White, Player of the Week in Major League Soccer. Tell us about that game and how things have been going here for Vancouver.
Surprisingly, considering how the season started, a lot of optimism. Things looking very good. A lot of confidence amongst the team right in the playoff mix just now. A couple of tough games coming up. We've got Seattle, obviously, on Saturday. Then next up is Sporting Kansas City. Then it's Portland. So that... this is the tough stretch of the season for the Whitecaps, but they've got players in form. Brian White, as you mentioned there, fantastic performance from him. Unless you're TSN up here, who gave their quality player of the week to a Toronto player who got one goal and one assist.
What?
I know. They gave it to Soteldo.
What? But Brian White had a hat trick, for those who don't know.
Oh, yeah, and Soteldo missed a penalty in that game as well, which is a pure sign of quality.
I don't understand that at all. Well, tell us about that game. I mean, obviously, Brian White has the hat trick, but what else happens to lead to the 3-0 win?
It was a really strong performance. I mean, the first half, it was pretty 50-50. San Jose were right in it. Whitecaps dominated in the second half, and they've struggled in the first half to get goals. That's been their big issue all season. They've started to turn the corner of that. They took the lead midway through the first half. I mean, Brian White gets all the headlines, but there were some really other strong performances there. Ryan Gold got an assist, set up the first goal with his shot as well. And on the defensive side, the Whitecaps have gone to a very... very unusual three-in-the-back formation, and it's a puzzle for us who's going to be playing in there half the time. Vanni Sartini likes to mix things up, but one of the guys that's a big standout and a big reason that the team are doing so well, Florian Jungwirth, signed mid-season from San Jose.
Yeah.
He's been a rock at the back, and he's one of the key players. It's not just about Brian White. Jungwirth's a guy that's going to be a big difference maker on Saturday, I feel.
Well, Michael McCall is with us, AFTN in Canada. Michael joins us for every single time we preview Sounders Whitecaps. That's coming up this Saturday, 6 p.m. kickoff, 5:30 pregame right here on 950 KJR. And, you know, you look at the run of form, Michael, and you exclude the Canadian Championship. You guys have lost one match since July 7th. You lost 4-0 to Real Salt Lake at home, and then since then... it's been just that 1-0 loss at against Portland on September 10th, and it's been all wins and draws other than that. I mean, this run of form, you mentioned a couple guys there, but from the coaching, which we know has kind of been in flux over the last couple of years with Mark Dos Santos not being there anymore. I mean, from the top down, it looks like these last few months, Michael, have been exceptional in a number of ways. Tell us all of those ways that this team has been able to right the ship in all of these different places.
Well, the big key factor was getting back home, getting back to Vancouver, not playing out of Utah, which gave them a little bit of an edge. With
when did that happen, by the way? When did they officially get back to BC Place in Vancouver?
It was in was it the end of July or the start of August? Time kind of stands still now.
Yes, that's very true.
I think it might actually have been at the start of August. Okay. That they played their first home game.
Okay.
But they got back to training after their last game in July. So from August onwards, they've been training in Vancouver. And that's a big help there. The game that kick-started the season was the last time that they played the Sounders. That 2-0 draw down there. Since then, they've lost just twice.
Yeah.
In 18 matches.
Jeez.
One was RSL, where they were the home team against RSL, so it was basically an away game. And then there was that loss to Portland that they really should have won. So they've hit a rich vein of form. Before Mark Dos Santos was sacked, A lot of those games, though, were draws. They were struggling to turn it into the 3 points. Under Vanni Sartini, he doesn't really know what the magic chemical has been to turn this around, but they're getting those wins. They're turning what would have probably been draws in the past into 3 points. They're putting in good performances, and most importantly, they're not shipping goals. 3 clean sheets in a row. Max Kripal has been on a fantastic rich vein of form. Won't be playing this Saturday because he's away playing with the Canadian national team. So it's a combination of good defensive play, getting the goals. Brian White, 9 goals in the season. You've got Ryan Gold. Finally, Vancouver has a number 10. Mm. He's been productive. He's been getting a little bit marked out of some of the most recent games because folk have been putting 2-3 players on him. That just frees up lots of space then for the other guys. And everyone stepped it up a level. As I said at the start, it's quite exciting times just now.
Michael, last thing for you here, and you're talking about a couple of those injuries there with Vancouver and that situation. And for us here in Seattle, we're missing 5 players on international duty. We'll still obviously have the injuries to Jordan Morris and Nicholas Ladero. Our injury list is pretty long, but you're coming off of here from our side 3 consecutive wins in 8 days. A very impressive week there for the Sounders this last week. For the Vancouver Whitecaps, we talked about the great run of form. So what do you see happening in this match between two teams who are both feeling good right now?
Well, normally I come on this show, and I'm really pessimistic
about
what's going to happen. I know. Folk are going to be surprised now when I say I actually feel quite optimistic about this one. Now, the Sounders, they looked really good at the weekend. I thought that was a very clinical performance, and they look like they're going to be first in the West. The guys that's out for the Sounders, though, I think is huge. Ladero, Rui Diaz have torn Vancouver apart in recent games. I think the Whitecaps can get something from this. Whether they can get the 3 points, I don't know. I would take a point from this with the schedule that's coming up.
Yeah.
But the confidence that they're in, if it's level getting late in the game, I wouldn't be surprised if they pop up with a winner. But I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw as it was back in June.
Michael, the optimistic Michael McCall for the first time in a while here between our two teams. It's been a joy, Michael. I can't wait to talk to you again here in a month right before decision day between our clubs up in Vancouver. But until then, thank you so much, my friend. I appreciate it and looking forward to this weekend.
Always a pleasure. And hopefully by the next game, we're still in that playoff battle, if not already having secured the spot.
I hope so. You know, anytime we can see Vancouver, you know, it is sort of the family element. Anytime you can see Vancouver in the playoff hunt, it does bring a little warmth. I always do like seeing Vancouver in the playoffs because that means we have the opportunity to kick you out of the playoffs later on. I want to see the Whitecaps in there. Michael, again, thanks so much, and we'll talk in a month.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Thanks, Jackson.
Great stuff there. Michael McCall. Always love having Michael on from AFTN Canada. You can follow him at AFTN Canada up there in Vancouver. And we'll take a break and we'll come back and switch gears here a bit. Before we do, I'll let you know, Sounder fans, even the greatest athletes, make sure to take the time to catch up with their friends over at Michelob Ultra because they know that the joy is the whole game, not the end game. Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. So coming up next in Sounders Weekly, we'll be joined by Andrew Harvey. He is, of course, our NWSL correspondent. He joins us each week for 60 seconds in the South Sound, at least sometimes for longer, such as is the case today. He joins us to talk about everything Tacoma Defiance and OL Reign. But there is a situation in the NWSL, a very, very disturbing situation going on. We talked about it with Garth Lagerway a little bit earlier on in the show, and Andrew is here to talk about exactly detail by detail what's going on, why the teams did not play games this last weekend, where we go from here, what's the situation. situation down in Portland with Gavin Wilkinson. There is a lot to go over here with the very disturbing NWSL situation. If you do not know what's going on, Andrew will fill you in. That is next on Sounders Weekly on Sports Radio 950 KJ.
Now back to Sounders Weekly on your home for Sounders FC, Seattle's Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Welcome back, everybody. Jackson Feltz here on a Wednesday night. Thank you for spending it here with us on a special Wednesday Sounders Weekly. We had Kraken hockey last night on KJR, so Sounders Weekly on Wednesday this week. Appreciate you here spending it with us. Thanks to Garth Loggerway. Thanks to Michael McCall for a couple nice visits to start off the show tonight. And joining us right now here is Andrew Harvey, Tacoma Defiant's play-by-play voice. Each week he gives us 60 seconds in the South Sound on all things Tacoma Defiant and OL Reign. He's also, as I've been saying, our NWSL correspondent, telling us everything going on as we've been talking to him about NWSL action for a number of years here on Sounders Weekly. Unfortunately, this week what we have to talk about is not necessarily a fun situation. We'll get into OL Reign, everything they got coming up. We'll get into Tacoma Defiant, what's going on with them here in a few minutes. But we start with a very disturbing and horrifying situation in the NWSL. We talked about it with Garth Loggerway a little bit earlier on, and the club put out a statement. I haven't touched on this subject too much. I don't honestly know every single full detail on the situation. That's why I have Andrew on here, and he's on hold right now. But I will right now read the statement that the club put out before Andrew discusses exactly what's going on. And the Sounders put out there, "The reports coming out of the NWSL are deeply disturbing. There is no place in our sport at any level for abuse, coercion, or harassment of any kind. To Mana, Sinead, Kaya, and others that have come forward, your courage is beyond measure. Our sport must be safe for everyone at every level, and our leagues free from any physical or emotional abuse. The right to a safe workplace should be universal. Our entire club stands in solidarity with the players of the NWSL. To our OL Reign family, we are thinking of you, especially during this incredibly challenging time. Collectively, we are working to ensure that Washington is the safest and most inclusive place to live, work, and play. To all players out there, especially women and girls, we support you and your right to work and play freely and safe from abuse." And as we welcome on Andrew Harvey right now, Andrew joins us each week, as I mentioned. And Andrew, we're having you on for a longer segment today to talk about this situation there with a head coach in the NWSL who is no longer a head coach. Very, very disturbing and horrifying situation here. There's a number of questions, and I know this first one is going to take up a lot of time, but the basic question that we've kind of been waiting to hit on tonight's show is what happened, why games weren't played last week. If you can go, you know, and chronicle the Athletic article that came out detail by detail, you know, what all happened here in the NWSL to lead to where we are right now.
Sure, Jackson. You know, and obviously before I start, I will mention that some of the details regarding what's been brought to light might be distressing for certain people listening in. Mm-hmm. And frankly, they're shocking and horrifying for everyone. What it comes down to is, as part of a broader context, which I will get into, in this specific case, Paul Riley, who was until last week the head coach of the North Carolina Courage, and when he was the head coach of the Portland Thorns, was sexually coercing his players to sleep with them, was sexually harassing several of his players, and was also engaging in anti-homophobic behavior and comments. You know, and this only came to light because a series of players had the bravery to go to independent media, like Megan Linehan and Stephanie Yang at The Athletic, and say that this had gone on. It also came out that the Thorns had been informed of this behavior, conducted an internal investigation, and then it's not entirely clear whether they chose to fire Paul Riley or they just didn't sign him to a new contract, which was right around the end of 2016, where he then went out and immediately got a job at North Carolina. He has been fired. The United States Soccer Federation has suspended his license, and both the Federation, the NWSL, and actually FIFA have now opened an investigation into the league for this. But it's important to note that this was not a one-off, Jackson, as far as abuse of players goes. You know, the momentum surrounding these stories around the NWSL are largely driven right now around the Washington Spirit. Richie Burke, who was their head coach, had been at first placed on a medical leave and then said he was going to take a role in the front office. The story there was that he had been verbally abusing his players in a very aggressive and bullying manner for a number of years. That situation is now spiraled as far as Washington's concerned. The players are openly saying that they want the owner, Steve Baldwin, and CEO to sell the team. It's unclear how that situation is going to shake out. But it's important to note that there are 10 teams in the NWSL, 12 scheduled for next year between Los Angeles and San Diego who are coming into the league. And of them, you have five or six notable cases where staff members have departed under circumstances something like this in the last 12 months or so. So you have the Washington Spirit and Richie Burke. You have North Carolina and Paul Riley. At OL Reign, Fareed Benstidi, we now know that he was fired for an inappropriate comment regarding nutrition and fitness to his players that he said that caused his termination, which Bill Predmore revealed last week during a press conference. You had members of the Royal Guard at Lumen Field for the Sounders match last weekend with signs of support for the NWSL players. At Gotham FC, based in New York and New Jersey, their general manager, Elise LeHue, she was fired for a violation of the league's anti-harassment policy. At Racing Louisville, Christy Hawley was fired for cause. We don't have word on what that is, but it should be noted that Hawley was married to Christy Pierce, née Rampone, who played for him while he was the head coach at Sky Blue FC. And then it's also worth throwing out there that the Utah Royals' Craig Harrington was placed on leave and later fired for allegedly making multiple inappropriate comments of a sexual nature to a member of the Utah club's staff last year. Of course, Utah, that all folded up in the Del Loy Hansen stuff, which we also spent a lot of time talking about, and they became Kansas City shortly before the start of this year. So, unfortunately, Jackson, this is a problem that keeps happening, keeps recurring, and you know, we also know that it's not just club staff. Lisa Baird also lost her job, and the NWSL's general counsel was also relieved of their position for their handling to the players reaching out, asking for a second investigation, basically.
Wow, there is so much there, Andrew. And Andrew Harvey's our guest, talking about this horrifying situation in the NWSL. Timbers Army down there in Portland has called for a boycott of concessions and merchandise until Galvin Wilkinson was fired, because as we saw down there in Portland, there were signs up this last weekend saying GW new. Because I guess, you know, another question, and then I don't know if you can answer this. You probably can't, and who knows who can. But the question is how Riley could have gotten hired by North Carolina so immediately if the league knew about what happened down in Portland. I mean, obviously there are investigations ongoing, Andrew, and it's just a terrible situation that at so many different levels. I mean, you're listing all these cases one after the other after the other, and the more that you list, it just gets more and more disturbing, because you can see it's a systematic issue here. And that kind of leads to the next question in this, which is that what's next? I mean, the teams didn't play games in the NWSL this last weekend. Will they play games this week? I mean, what's next with this as the investigations ongo and we see just how deep-seated of an issue this is throughout the entire league?
It's a good question, Jackson. I mean, obviously, what's next is, first, there's going to have to be some truth and reconciliation that goes into, you know, exactly who and what was known. The North Carolina Courage owner, Steve Malik, he issued a statement today kind of distancing himself, saying that they'd conducted a thorough check into Paul Riley and that everything came back, you know, acceptable, or else they wouldn't have hired him. You know, and right now, unfortunately, what you're seeing is a lot of the power brokers within the league are kind of trying to play the blame game to, you know, shift the spotlight away from themselves. And I think where the energy and attention needs to be, and most of the fans seem to be highlighting this, is it needs to be on how can we immediately erect systems and put them in place today so that nothing like this can ever happen again. That won't be an easy process, but you and I both know that that's way more important than the playing of soccer. So, you know, as to whether or not matches will be played this week, the rest of this year, I don't know. I don't really care, Jackson, because I care much more about, you know, getting the players protected. I know you do as well. Yeah. And I think, frankly, if NWSL fans were faced with the prospect of no more soccer this season, but hey, we're going to make sure we build a framework to stop predatory and abusive behavior like this, yeah. I think that's an easy trade.
It absolutely is. That's the number one thing, is to protect the NWSL players and all players, but especially with this situation, to try to rebuild this league. Because, as I mentioned, this is a systematic issue with all of these cases, and there are so many. I mean, you diagnosed it there one by one by one. This is a major problem with this league, and you might need to do something like strip it all down from the top down and rebuild it from every level, so that the people in power and every single person under them knows that this is wrong and you cannot do these sort of things. So I tell you what, Andrew, I mean, I was going to ask about the OL Reigns positioning, who they got coming up and all that stuff. I don't even know if that's an appropriate question anymore. So we'll just continue to talk to you in the weeks to come about this situation as it continues to evolve. But we don't need to touch on the situation there with the Reign. We'll just talk about them after whatever happens next with this situation, because it does seem to be an ongoing deal with these ongoing investigations. So we'll talk to you more in the future about OL Reign. But specifically, let's change the subject to Tacoma Defiance. And I wish we could be talking about a more positive thing, but unfortunately, it's six straight losses for this team. I would love you to go into what's going on with this team right now, what they have coming up, but specifically, what has led to six consecutive defeats?
Yeah, I mean, Jackson, the easy answer is just that gaps have opened up defensively. You know, their first 17 matches, they only conceded 18 goals total. They've conceded 17 goals in their last eight games, right? So at the goals allowed average of 1.05, the first 17 over two, the last eight. And realistically, it also has just been, they were on that great unbeaten run, then they stopped getting results on the road. That's pretty much what it was. They've been a good home team all year long. A couple recent, you know, frustrating results against some of the better clubs in the Pacific Division. But during the run, they were getting draws, the odd win away from home. And now they're kind of regressing to that form early in the year where they lost four of their first five on the road. So they will play a makeup road match actually against Austin Bold right now. They're on the pitch, and you can see that on ESPN Plus. That was canceled earlier this year due to thunderstorms. And then they got a quick turnaround, a road home split on the week. They're coming home to play Orange County on Saturday. That'll be at 7 p.m. I'll be on the call on ESPN Plus for that. But the truth is, they got to get a result tonight and then 3 points at home on Saturday, or else those last five matches of the season are going to be a very tough time to get back above the red line.
Absolutely, and I'll encourage everybody, that match on Saturday, if you're in the South End, that's at Cheney Stadium, 7 p.m. there for Defiance and Orange County. Well, we'll, again, continue to talk about the NWSL situation with OL Reign. We'll continue talking about Tacoma Defiance. Andrew, we'll probably have you on for another long-form conversation at some point here in the next bit. We're not doing a Sounders Weekly next week, so we will talk to you soon, buddy. Sorry this couldn't be more of an uplifting conversation like we sometimes have had here in the past, with some great results for Reign and Defiance, but we really appreciate you giving us all this time today.
No, my pleasure, Jackson, and just, you know, everybody out there, take care of each other. That's all we can do.
Absolutely. Well said, Andrew Harvey there. Well, that will do it for tonight's show. Sorry to end on this note, but I will turn the attention one more time, and that is that the Sounders facing the Vancouver Whitecaps this coming Saturday. So get ready for that one. Pregame at 5:30 p.m. right here on 950 KJR. Two more notes before we end the show tonight, and that is that season ticket deposits for the 2022 season are still available. Don't miss your chance to secure the best seats at Lumen Field for next year by placing a deposit before October 15th. Learn more at soundersfc.com/tickets. The one other note I will say is that you can visit the CIMAR Museum of Chicano-Chicana Latino-Latina Culture from now until October 15th for the chance to win an autographed Sounders FC or Club Santos Laguna jersey. To learn more about the museum, including hours and directions, visit cimarmuseum.squarespace.com. That will do it for the show tonight. Thanks to Garth Lagerway. Thanks to Michael McCall. Thanks to Andrew Harvey. If you missed any of it, check out the podcast later on tonight. That'll do it for the show. So we'll talk to you on Saturday, 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock kickoff for the Sounders and Vancouver Whitecaps. Fox Sports Radio up next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.